We're going to look at this portion that we read together this morning, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And I want us to think about a message from the living Lord, from His living Word. A message from the living Lord, from His living Word. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for the Scriptures. Wonderful book is the Bible. Treasure to love and to prize. Given by God to its writers. Words that are holy and wise. Wonderful Bible, marvels wherever we look, gracious and glorious gospel, wonderful, wonderful book. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, may our hearts burn within us. We ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ laid great honor upon His written word. That's why we should value the Scriptures. In His temptation in the wilderness that we sang of in our opening hymn, when the Lord Jesus Christ was assailed by Satan, He employed the Scriptures. So the Scriptures were employed to repel the devil. One temptation after another temptation after another was answered thus by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Lord Jesus Christ could have said anything He wanted to cause the devil to withdraw, but he employed the written word of God. The very same means that is available to you and I today. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ employ the Scriptures to repel Satan, but He employed the Scriptures that sinners might repent. You might be familiar with the story in John's Gospel how that a woman who was caught in the act of adultery was brought to the Lord by certain men, and they wanted her stoned. They wanted her done to death. And when they brought her to the Lord, He said nothing, but stooped and wrote on the ground. Now, there may be some question as to what He wrote on the ground. For my part, I'm convinced beyond doubt that it was the commandments. Because as He wrote on the ground, and mind you, we're talking about His written word. As He wrote on the ground, one by one of the woman's accusers withdrew. And I can picture as He wrote each commandment, those men that brought that woman would look at the commandments and they would know themselves that they were guilty of sin. For by the law, the Bible tells us, is the knowledge of sin. And when the Lord ceased writing and looked up, he says, "Woman, where are now thine accusers?" And they were gone. And he told her, "Go and sin no more." The woman was pardoned. The woman repented of her sin. She sinned no more. He employed the written word to repel Satan. He employed the written word so that sinners would repent. And in this portion of Scripture that we read this morning, we see the Lord Jesus Christ employing the written word so that saints would be renewed. That's the very reason Christ takes his written word on this occasion. To revive, to renew, if you like, to resurrect downhearted and discouraged saints of God. Therefore, we have before us in this portion that we read together a message from the living Lord, from his living word. Let's look at it together and let's see what is said here about the Scriptures. You will notice then, in the first instance, the Scriptures exalt the Savior. The Scriptures exalt the Savior. If you look at verse 15, it says in verse 15, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." There's the presence of the Lord. The reference is to a couple walking homeward to a village called Emmaus. It was about 8 miles thereabouts from Jerusalem. It was a man and his wife. One of them's named here, Cleophas. And we read in another gospel that his wife was at the cross. His wife was called Mary. And as they were trudging wearily home that day from Jerusalem to that village called Emmaus, they were disheartened. They were discouraged. They were desponding. The bottom had fallen out of their world. The one on whom they had pinned all their hopes, the one who gave birth to tremendous expectations in their hearts, had been done to death. And yet, here they are, walking in that spirit on the road to Emmaus, and we're told Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And the next verse tells us that their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. So in the midst of their despair, as they trudged wearily home, the Lord was there. They didn't know it, but he was there. He was there with them. He drew near and went with them. And folks, this is the great thing about the Christian. There are times when we are on top of everything and we can sing with all our hearts and we can praise the Lord. There are times when it's like plowing concrete, when we're up against it, when we feel really bad, and we think no one cares. But he's still there. He's still there. The Lord has given his promise to his people, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so whether you're on a mountaintop and feeling great, the Lord's there. or whether you're down in the valley and feeling terrible, the Lord's there. He's given His word. He's given His promise. Martin Luther wrote these words, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there's one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken." You've got the presence of the Lord Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. You've got the perception of the Lord. Because when the Lord draws near, He says, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Now the Lord knew exactly what they were going through. The Lord knew all about the circumstances. And He just draws almost imperceptibly near this couple as they're walking down the road. What's wrong with you? What manner of communications are these that you have as you walk and are sad? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows all about you. He knows the feelings of your heart. He knows, He sees, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. The Lord gives the very best to those that leave the choice with Him. And as He draws near, He draws out of these people just what is the burden upon their heart. Maybe you're going through a hard time today. Maybe you're thinking nobody really knows, and maybe even saying nobody even cares. But He knows. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Other friends may forsake. Other friends may misunderstand. Other friends may leave us, but He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Here He was with this dear man and his wife as they were trudging wearily toward Emmaus, and He draws near and begins to draw out of them their burden. And they unburden themselves to Him. Isn't that what the Bible says? "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And as these folks walked, they just seemed to do this. Things seemed to lighten for them. Because their burden was being lifted by the One who drew near and went with them. Not only do you have the presence of the Lord and the perception of the Lord, but you have the precepts of the Lord. They ask Him, when He asks, "What manner of communications are these that you have?" They ask Him, they say to Him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and knowest not the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And He said unto them, "What things? What things?" You see, the Lord knew all about it, but He was just drawing these people out. Doesn't the Bible say that we're to make our requests known unto God? God knows all about them. He knows all about them far better than we do, but He wants us to unburden ourselves and cast our cares upon Him. And that's exactly what these folks were doing. The Lord asked what things, and they said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned and have crucified Him. Then they talk about the women who were at the sepulchre and find an empty tomb. But notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says this, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, verse 25, verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So you'll see here that on this occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the written word. We've said at the outset, he used the written word so that Satan would be repelled. We have said at the outset, he takes the written word so that sinners would repent. And here he takes the written word so that saints would be revived, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What an experience that was for those two people. Think about it. Walking along the road, bowed down with care, their dreams shattered, disillusioned and disheartened, and the Lord draws near, and look at what it says. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Bible text after Bible text after Bible text from the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ opened them and expounded them and made them to see these scriptures spoke of Christ coming, Christ being crucified, Christ rising from the dead. So the Lord himself, he could have said anything at all to them on this occasion. But he takes them along that road and expounds the scriptures to them and tells them from the scriptures the things concerning himself. Folks, there are many other issues in the Bible that we could consider. And rightly so. But the main theme by far, the Old Testament scriptures, the books of Moses, the books of the prophets, go into the Gospels, go into the Epistles, go into the book of Revelation, the main theme by far, things concerning himself. Oh, that we would see Jesus in his word. The scriptures exalt the Savior. And then secondly, the scriptures enlighten the saint. If you look at verse 16, it tells us in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now if you look at verse 31 in the same portion, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. In the first instance, verse 16, they were preoccupied with problems. Here they were, the man and his wife, devastated at what had happened. And it was a terrible, terrible thing that happened. The greatest sin of all time anywhere in the history of mankind was committed that day in Jerusalem. Well might the Son in darkness hide, and shut its glories in. When Christ, the great Creator, died for man, the creatures sinned. Here they were, immersed in sorrow, overwhelmed with grief, so taken up and preoccupied in their hearts and in their minds with what had happened in Jerusalem. Don't they ask the Lord, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and knowest not the things that have happened there in these days?" And it tells us this, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And folks, that happens to us. Sometimes our problems and our difficulties and our trials so fill our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. We live them, we eat them, we drink them. They're with us when we go to bed at night. They're with us when we get up in the morning. They're with us through the day. They hound us from hour to hour. And sometimes we become so preoccupied with our problems, we lose sight of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? These folks would have known the Lord. They would have been in his company. They would have seen his face. They would have heard him speak. They would have witnessed his works. And yet, as they went along the road, they were so preoccupied with their disappointments, they didn't know. Their eyes were holden that they did not know him. They were preoccupied with their problems. If you look at verse 31, it says their eyes were opened. Now, folks, it doesn't mean here that their eyes, physically speaking, were literally closed and they were walking about in darkness. It doesn't mean that at all. It means just what we have said. They were so taken up with grief, they saw nothing or no one else. But verse 31 tells us their eyes were opened. And it says when their eyes were opened, they knew him. And he disappeared out of their sight. So on the one hand, in verse 16, they were preoccupied with problems. But on the other hand, in verse 31, there was a realization of the reality. It dawned on them. This is the Lord. He's risen. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And it says he vanished out of their sight. And even though they could no longer see him, they knew themselves that the Lord was risen. Now, look at verse 32. Look at verse 32 in this passage. They said one to another, "Did not our heart," doesn't say hearts, heart. They were one heart. That's why I believe it was a man and his wife. They were of one heart. "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us?" By the way, listen to these words. "And while he opened to us the scriptures." What was the means of the great transformation in the hearts and minds of this man and his wife? What was it that the Lord employed? What was it that he did? He opened to us the scriptures. That's what made the difference. That's what brought about the change. That's what revived them. That's what rejuvenated them. That's what restored them. And they had the Lord made known to them from his word. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, and creating faith in Him. My, what a change. What a transformation. The Scriptures exalt the Savior. The Scriptures enlighten the saint. Their eyes were opened. And then lastly, the Scriptures excite to service. Look at the closing verses of the portion that we read. We'll read verse 32 to get the connection. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Look at the next verse. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Look at verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. There's three simple things here. Look at it. They rose. And it tells us in verse 33, they rose the same hour. Now that's significant. Because when they were walking to Emmaus, the Lord was making as if He would go on His journey. But they said, look, abide with us. For it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And it says they constrained Him. So the day was far spent. It was toward evening. And even at this juncture, it was later still. They had had a meal. And yet, even though it was time to retire for the night, they rose up the same hour. The very same hour. They could not wait until the next morning. They had to get back to Jerusalem. They had to get to the place where God's people were meeting. They had to tell them of the Lord. And folks, that's the effect the Scriptures have on the people of God. They make them want to be industrious. They make them want to tell others. They make them want to be in the company and in the companionship and in the fellowship of the saints of God. So they rose. And then it says they returned. They returned to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was 7.5 miles away. 3 score furlongs. That's 60 furlongs. There's 8 furlongs in a mile. So you have 7.5, maybe to 8 miles away. They had walked home that distance. And even though it was the day was far spent, it was evening time, it was time for retiring, such was the renewed vigor that they had up and out and away the same hour. Anybody walk to church this morning? Far away do you live from the house of God? Would you walk 8 miles to go to God's house? Well, these people did it. They had to do it, of course. They didn't have cars and trains and buses like we have today. So they went back, up and away and out, on an errand for the Lord to tell others about Him. And folks, that's the impact seeing the Lord in the Scriptures has upon His people. Notice, not only did they rise, not only did they return, but look at verse 35. It says, they revealed, they told what was done in the way and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. What an encouragement they must have been to those other disciples, to those other folks that were meeting there in that upper room. What an encouragement they must have been as they came in late that night and they told them the Lord has risen indeed. He's also appeared to Peter. He's also appeared to the woman. And bit by bit by bit, the community of believers was being lifted out of the doldrums, lifted out of their dismay. The same thing that happened to this couple happened to those followers of Christ as the Lord appeared to them again and again and again. In fact, if you read on in this chapter, as they were considering all these things, as they were sitting in the upper room and Peter was telling them about what he had seen and the women were telling about what they had witnessed in the morning and Cleophas and his wife telling what they had witnessed as they were walking homeward as they were discussing these things and people's hearts were thrilled. It says Jesus appeared in their midst. What a change the risen Lord makes as he makes himself known to his people through his word. Do you love your Bible this morning? Do you value the written word of God? Oh, let me encourage you to read it daily, to make much of it, and to look for Christ before anything or anyone else. Look for him. He's there. He's there. He's there in his word. Consider not your problems as such. I know they're real. I know they cause you concern. But consider, even over and above them, the things concerning himself. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this morning.